This is a Limestone Coast Triple M podcast. Triple M, everything Limestone Coast.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M. This morning, I have got the CEO of the Mount Gambier Council on the line, Mark McShane. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good. Hey, Mark, there has been an awful lot of talk since you and I caught up last about the proposed sport and rec centre.
Correct. There certainly has been lots of discussion. And look, I think the community and people talking about it is very positive. We need to talk about it. We also need to have information about what it is and what it will do for the community, not in the immediate future necessarily, but also for the longer term. And we're talking a facility like many of our others around Mount Gambier with hard infrastructure such as roads or footpaths or the rail trail or the library, in fact. And this is going to be with us if we are to get it through funding through federal and state. It'll be with us for the next 50 to 60 years. So it may not necessarily be for us. It may be for our kids and our grandkids. So that's the sort of view that we need to accept on this, that it's not for just a short period of time. It's for a long period of time.
Mm. Mark, first of all, we need to be able to secure federal and state funding, from what I understand, to even get this project off the ground.
Look, certainly. And that's been a statement from council all the way through. The concept about applying for federal funding was really supported very heavily and thankfully by our local member, Tony Passon. We appreciate his support in this regard, and obviously also from Troy Bell from the state. But these sort of projects are very large projects, and it's the same right across the country. It cannot commence until we secure funding. So, and all of these funding rounds, this one in particular, has I think a pool of just under $300 million Australia-wide. And of course, there's always competition. If we don't get it, somebody else will. And of course, there are restrictions about what it's used for. And in fact, the recreation centre proposal fits within the criteria. So it can't be used by local government to do other sorts of activities. It's to construct and build things which are within local government domain.
So, Mark, what do we want to see in the sport and rec centre, and why is it going to cost us $40 million?
Yeah, good question. And I guess one of the answers, one of the comments that I've heard around the place, well, right now is the cheapest time to build it. We've revisited this in 10 years' time, it'll be $60 million.
Absolutely.
And that's no different from house prices or anything else that we buy, and things go up. So in terms of the concept for the facility, it will contain, at this stage, and we're getting feedback from the community reference group, of course, about the design, but we're trying to make it as versatile as possible. So sport and rec, most certainly, sport and recreation facilities in terms of multi-purpose courts, dry areas for other sorts of exercise, meeting rooms for the community, and also looking at the possibility of the show court area to be used for other purposes, for performances, displays, music, exhibitions, and those sorts of activities. So it becomes more than what people might think is a standard recreational sport facility. So we broaden it out as much as possible so it becomes a community hub.
Will there be a 50-metre pool undercover?
No, there won't be a 50-metre pool undercover. There'll be a 25-metre pool undercover. The 50-metre pool, as it currently stands, will still be open during the warm season, between normally October through until the end of March. So that will still be part of the design. But the rest of the aquatics facilities, including the 25-metre lap pool, learn to swim pool for kids, which is critical these days, and splash areas and fountains and those sort of things for the younger children, highly popular. But particularly the learn to swim is critical right across Australia.
Mark, one of the big questions, I suppose, that is being talked about on social media is not the cost of the facility itself, but the ongoing cost for, our kids and our grandkids and the 50 to 60 year lifespan of this facility. Do
Correct.
We know how much it's going to cost?
Look, at this stage, we're still doing some analytics on this. We believe, these things are expensive. Let's not balk at that one. But again, it's a whether or not the community considers that a comprehensive, multi-purpose facility such as this is something that the second largest city in South Australia deserves. My answer to that is probably yes. Can we afford it? The answer is yes, we can. Mm. But it's a matter of making sure that we have all that data so that we can provide information to the community about how this will be progressed.
Will the upheavals that are taking place with the pioneers at the moment and their lack of knowledge as to what will happen in after 2019 come into play when it comes to the rec centre?
Look, we've had discussions with the pioneers and very positive discussions about where they'd like to go, and that was unfortunately prior to the information about the future of that particular competition. Look, the pioneers certainly would probably benefit from the facility as it's currently envisaged. Mm. But of course, this is much, much bigger than the pioneers, and that's not discounting what the pioneers have done for this city, because they've been highly successful. But this is a real community facility for kids all the way through to people who are elderly, who want a warm water swim, who want to play less rigorous exercise or sports. So the pioneers itself, no matter what happens to the competition, and we keep our fingers crossed that that will continue, would not necessarily impact on the facility.
Mark, there seems to be some to-ing and fro-ing between the possibility of having a survey of residents about the project and whether it will go ahead once costings are finalised. Why has there been a little bit of to-ing and fro-ing there?
Well, part of it's about council working through the exercise and engaging with the community. And on Tuesday night last week, the council, and we also, just to stop back a bit, a little bit on this one, of course, we also have an election coming up.
Mm.
So there's, in amongst all the decisions and progress of the proposed centre, we do have a council election. So the council on Tuesday night agreed and supported a full survey of our community, so that everybody will have a say in whether this this particular project goes ahead.
And mate, another sticking point, at least on social media, because nobody ever likes the price that we are quoted. $60,000 to ask the question as to whether we want the Sport and Rec Centre.
Well, again, I guess there's some, what I would say, cheaper options through things like social media, but the results of those are always going to be questioned.
Mm.
Now, council in its resolution last week said quite clearly, we want all the electors in Mount Gambier to have an opportunity to respond. Now, that's over 19,000 people. So each of those will need to be distributed with information and a voting slip as well, or to provide feedback into the process. And then, of course, they'll need a return envelope. So just looking at postage, you can start building it up. And then, of course, it has to be done by an external firm so that the process is robust. And as the Mayor's previously mentioned, it's got to be rigorous and formal and creditable process. Otherwise, forever and a day, people will say, well, we got the results, but I don't really trust them. So yes, indeed. Yes, you're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't.
Donald Trump has a lot to answer for.
If you do it properly, there's some cost to be involved in that exercise.
Yeah.
If you did it cheap and cheerful, and people would then say, well, it wasn't formalised enough.
Mm.
You know, why didn't you pay some more money, and then you'll be able to have a credible process. So, yes, either way, there is some cost involved. Obviously, we'll keep them down as much as possible. But if you're going to go to 19,000 people to ask their views, then there's some cost involved. And don't forget, the community was saying, you know, we want a survey. We all want to have a say. Well, if you all want to say, unfortunately, there is some cost involved in that.
Mark, what's the next step in the journey to hopefully see a Sport and Rec Centre here in the Limestone Coast?
Well, look, again, going back to an earlier conversation we just had, it's very heavily predicated on funding from the state and federal governments. And, of course, the federal government right now is undergoing a little bit of transformation itself. So whether that has an impact on this or not, who knows? We will continue to engage and inform the community about how this is going. Council itself, through the resolution last Tuesday night, has said, yes, we're going to go ahead with a community survey on this. We will continue to develop the architectural plans in partnership with the community reference group. And as soon as all of that information becomes very clear, then we'll communicate that to the community prior to any community survey being carried out. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, it might be the beginning of next year before we even find out about whether or not we're proceeding to the next round of federal funding, or late this year at least anyway. So it's a fairly long time frame, but this is the start of the journey. And many communities across South Australia, and indeed Australia, in searching and trying to work through the construction of such a facility, it does take some time.
Absolutely. Mark, it's been great to talk to you this morning about the Sport and Rec Centre. Thank you so much for taking the time out, and of course, for answering all our questions this morning.
Great talking to you.
This is a Limestone Coast Triple M podcast. Classic Hits 963 Triple M.